Oh, the cookies and the silverware, and there might be.
Please come to order for our meeting. Everybody, please come to order, including board members. Okay. Okay, thank you. Could we have a roll call, please?
All right.
Astrid Berkson. Eileen Danavy. Susan Fowler.
Here.
Dolores Henry.
Here.
Tom Moore.
Here.
Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Julian Rappaport.
Here.
Anne Robin. Deborah Townsend.
Here.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Do we have any citizen input today or public participation today? Just briefly, because we have a lot of business to take care of. Patsy? I should say.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Patsy Petrie, City of Champaign. I have two interesting pieces of general information that came to my attention from several meetings I've attended recently, and then one suggested proposal for putting out the call for proposals for 2016. The first piece of information that I learned about is what is being called the MCOR design project, which will cover all of the campus town area on Green Street and then several of the perpendicular streets within campus town. And that project is in the design phase as we speak. And since it's such a very important urban design project in relationship to mobility and connectivity for all citizens of this community, both the Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disabilities Board might want to take some time to look at that design in relationship to the subpopulations that the two boards care about and make decisions concerning. You can see it up on a website just by searching for MCOR project. Clark Dietz is the design firm for the project, and it will disturb that whole area for 3 years. Completion date is projected to be 2019, so you might want to keep that in mind. And the second is, I learned that at one point in time, the READY project and the Juvenile Detention Center shared a mental health juvenile clinician. And that position hasn't been available for about 7 years. And during that course of time, according to the information I was given, they are observing a increase of frequent flyers in the youth of our community. I don't think anybody's stating that there's a correlation and causation. It's an observation. But I'm interested in why that position dissolved seven years ago, and possible conversations to see if it's worth bringing back for the youth of our community. And then the last one is pertaining for the 2016 funding proposal call, and I'm interested to put out for your discussion and consideration maybe a different way of calling for proposals, in that the call is that here is X amount of money for A, B, C, D, and E goals within that amount of money. And the purpose of this suggestion is twofold. Number one is incentivizing more collaboration between different agencies in our communities. And second is that if certain goals are stated, in the call for proposals, then that would increase the possibility of evaluation as to whether those goals are reached or not. And as I recall, at least one meeting ago, and maybe two, Professor Rappaport talked about focusing a bit more highly on doing evaluation of programs, and this might enable something like that to begin to happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Petrie. And is there any other public input, participation? Yes, Sue.
I'm sorry, Dr. Petrie. I'm not sure what you meant by frequent flyers. Do you mean runaways or frequent arrests? Or it was a really important issue, so I wanted to understand.
Frequent flyer seems to be a term used a great deal in the criminal justice system, meaning people who frequently return to jail, the same individual. We've talked a lot about that in relationship to the Adult Assessment Center and our analysis and our discussion about the jail. I was not aware that there is a similar pattern, not of the same magnitude, but a similar pattern in relationship to the youth in our community. Thank you for asking.
I'll leave it on for you. Thank you.
Please give us your name and where you're from.
Hi, I'm Dottie Vuorowise. I live at 2103 Mills Drive in Urbana.
I really meant if you're with an agency, we'd love to know what.
Okay, I'm here as a concerned citizen. I'm a retired family physician. I've worked in public health, and I'm used to looking at things from a kind of broad-based perspective and systems perspective. And I retired a couple years ago and moved here and have been involved in some of the activities to encourage a broad look at the criminal justice system and ways to decrease the number of people in jail, especially those who don't really need to be there. So I want to commend your commitment to the programs that will help to divert people from jail and help keep them healthy so that they don't get arrested to begin with for situations that aren't really criminal in nature. I also have learned recently that the county is not going to be receiving one of the MacArthur Foundation grants for the Safety and Justice Challenge. And it was a very disappointing news, but not surprising because so many people were applying for it. I really hope that somehow the county will find ways to continue the planning process to revamp our criminal justice system to make it more responsive to human needs. And I'm hoping that the planning process can continue, that the county can find ways to support that, and that the Mental Health Board will be able to participate in supporting it, if not financially, if that's not possible, at least in terms of the general moral support for it and logical support, because so many of the other issues that could be addressed, things like encouraging restorative justice programs, things like having more alternatives to incarceration, are really consistent with the other programs that you do support and that you work for. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Additional input? Well, thank you very much. So we'll move on to our agenda, and I'll ask if there are any additions to the agenda. Seeing none, we'll move along. We'll just note that the draft minutes for the CCDDB meeting are in our packets. Now we can approve our minutes. Our minutes for our last meeting, I think it was April 22nd. So I'd really like a motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes of April 22nd.
Thank you, Susan. Tom? Island seconded. Okay. Thank you very much. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, they are approved. I will pass on my opportunity to make comments for now, and I'll turn it over to Peter for making comments.
I have a few comments. The first is, and this, the one of our public input people was talking about the jail and the mental health issue. At our next meeting, I'm going to be bringing a resolution that basically comes from NACO, and it's called the Stepping Up Initiative Resolution, and it states our objective of attempting to divert people with mental illness and substance use disorders from the jail and by providing services, and I think it's, you know, something that we should support. And it's my understanding this is probably going to, the county board is going to adopt a similar resolution or consider adopting a similar resolution. The other thing I wanted to mention, this was a really nice experience, and I don't know if Tracy, if you're going to talk about this later, but we did have the federal SAMHSA site review, 3-day site review, looking at the Access Initiative. The reviewers, Dr. Vanna Kinchlow and Susan McCannon, it was very interesting to hear their wrap-up, and I'm looking forward to seeing the written report. One of the things that they commented on was that this program in Champaign is very unique, and it is one of two projects in the country that really has a focus on African-American families and youth, the other being Shelby County, which is in Tennessee. Nationally, they pointed out that the voices of African-American families and youth are marginalized, and that the Access Initiative engagement and empowerment of these folks in our community was unique and has really led to some very good directions and choices that the program has made. They basically, it was a wonderful to get this kind of feedback from these folks that have looked at programs all over the country. And when we get the final report, we'll share that. And that's the other comment that I wanted to mention, and I'm sure Tracy will probably be adding a little bit to this when he gets to his time, but this is in the way of an advertisement. The Expo, the Disabilities Expo, has a fundraiser. And I'm supposed to remind people that it's on June 11th. It's a wine tasting at, where's it at? Thank you, at Art Mart. We would encourage people to support the expo by supporting this fundraiser.
And the date is?
June 11th at 6.
Right.
What?
4 to 7.
Art Mart.
Okay. Thank you, Peter.
They need a better spokesman.
Oh, you're doing fine. It's okay. Board to board reports. Now, I'm asking for reports from the last 2 months since we skipped it last month altogether. So I'm inviting board members to report on their agencies that they liaise for us. Well, or you can send out an invitation, but you don't always get. Oh, Susan, thank you.
Well, I think I talked a little bit about community elements last month, although it wasn't during the board reports. And just wanted to share their concern regarding the annual application process and their difficulty retaining staff because so many managed care companies are able to offer more attractive salaries, and to ask the board to consider in the future if there's a way to have some of the funding done on a 2-year cycle versus a single year cycle, which I think happened at one point, but isn't happening right now.
It hasn't happened for quite some time, but it's certainly something we can discuss and maybe decide to do. Thank you, Susan. Any other board-to-board reports now that the pump is primed? Okay. Well, okay. Next item is agency information, and we'll call your attention to what's happening with...
She's actually coming to it.
Oh, wonderful. You speak for yourself.
Oh, that's all right, Deb. I'm Gail Rainey. I'm the COO at Prairie Center Health Systems. In your board packets was a copy of what was recently in the news, our announcement to that we signed a letter of intent to merge with Centerstone of Illinois. The majority of the information is in the article, and a basic recap is we're really doing this to bring more clinical excellence and quality of care to the clients that we serve right now. We're looking to bring more resources to Prairie Center, what's currently Prairie Center, through this process. We're hoping to expand our services and improve access to care for our clients that we currently serve. We're in the due diligence phase right now. It's estimated it'll take about 60 to 90 days until we actually are merged. And rest assured, Peter will be one of the first people to know. He was one of the first people to know that we had signed the letter of intent. So that's where we are right now with the process.
Thank you. I'll invite questions from board members, if they're quick or brief. Do you want to say anything, Pete? No?
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I think this is going to bring some very good help to us.
We hope so.
In the community, yeah. Thank you so
thank
much.
You.
Is there any other agency information? Right. Financial information. Board members have had, you've all had an opportunity to look at the claims report. I would like somebody to move that we accept it.
I move that we accept the claims report for this month.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The report is accepted as presented. Thank you. Okay, new business, allocation decisions. Now, we've had some pretty helpful,
I don't know if this happens after you make the motion, but there, Dolores noticed a missing piece of a sentence. I have that language, some language that should go into the memo, and then there's an error in one of the spreadsheets, too.
How,
I don't know if it's time to do that now.
Go ahead, Lynn.
Okay, the language that Dolores noticed is on page 30, right? Did you notice it too? Is it? Okay. So what I believe is missing.
Oh, I got it too.
Dr. Moore got it too.
You guys all noticed this? Okay.
Yes. I added dot.
Okay. What I think should be there are the words, is judged by the CCMHB executive director not to be sufficient for payment as delineated in the terms and conditions under this contract. Right.
Just a comment, that is the language that was there last year, and it is the language that is in the contract boilerplate. So that was just a error in the...
Right.
We will correct the document.
Okay.
The document will be corrected, and that will show in the minutes of this meeting.
And then we have a very minor error in one of the related spreadsheets. Actually, there are two. I think there are two. So in the Oh my gosh. The color, the very colorful one, the DSC contract. There's one developmental services center contract included here, and it says service coordination. It should say individual and family support. It's in the second half under the green highlight. And family support. Okay. And there's another very small error here, and that is in the amounts associated with the community choices programs. But actually, that's not on this spreadsheet. The next page, the DDB spreadsheet. Wait, where is that? That's two pages later, page 36. In the under community choices, there are three contracts, and then in the column associated with CCMHB, the first one should be 60,000, and then the second two would be 55,000. I apologize for that. That's
okay. Thank you, Lynn.
Were there other errors that? Yes.
Yep. I wondered that too.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Any other?
Oh no, you're right. No, you're right. That should be 15.
That's what I thought.
You're right. That's a county board action, not a. Yeah, yeah.
So what page, please?
That is also on page 30. It should say November 2015.
Oh yeah, it's right there.
Yeah. Well, I think that one is the, is that a reference to the priorities?
Background consideration?
No, I think that's correct. Okay. That's the document that you worked on and approved in November of last year.
Okay, so we're changing this to 2015.
Yes, and I need to remember that for the next meeting, too. 15.
That would be really helpful.
On page 30.
Good, okay.
Thank you.
Any other corrections or any comments before we get into this? Okay. So in the past, we have been able to consider the recommendations of the staff by tier 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And if it's okay with board members, I'd like to suggest that we do that again this year. I can't find it. Where is it? There we go. So does anybody have any objections to doing it that way? We'll bring up one tier at a time. Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So I don't hear any objections. So let's go. I'd like a motion to approve Mental Health Board funding as recommended for tier one, subject to the caveats as presented in this memorandum. Thank you. Now, discussion. Yes, Sue.
First of all, I want to thank Lynn and Mark because they spent some time with me a couple weeks ago going through the document, which was very helpful in terms of answering some questions I had in the past. Nonetheless, I have some more questions, and they're really more for clarification. I know that there are two Parenting with Love and Limits programs, one's provided by Community Elements and one's by Prairie Center Health Systems. And if you could just explain if they're addressing two different audiences, how they ensure there's not duplication, because they're both substantially funded programs, and they both use the same curriculum, I assume. So, Mark?
Parenting with Love and Limits front-end program with community elements, they serve youth at risk of involvement with the criminal justice system, but are primarily youth that are station-adjusted youth or youth having difficulty in school, behavioral issues at school or at home. The extended care program at Prairie Center Health Systems focuses on youth that have had a deeper penetration into the criminal justice system. They are youth that are primarily spend time at the juvenile detention center, maybe youth that are brought to the detention center and released. There is coordination between the two programs in terms of the screening that occurs. And if a youth screens high enough, they will be referred to the extended care program at Community Elements. And if they have a lower rating on the screening instrument, they will be referred to the front-end program at Community Elements.
I thought one of the characteristics which would put a youth in the deep end would be drug involvement, too.
Yeah, well, it's primarily driven by the offense.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and whether or not they are being charged and brought to the juvenile detention
okay.
center.
Sue, okay. does that answer your questions?
To some extent. I'm glad to hear that there's coordination and
mm-hmm.
that they're targeting slightly different populations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Julian.
I'm sorry, you want to finish?
No, I'll take your question.
I just thought maybe you could remind me. I seem to recall that we saw some evaluation, a fairly formal evaluation of the PLL program. Mm-hmm. Was that referring to both of these or just one of them?
It was primarily for the extended care population.
Okay.
Study that was done on that, yes.
Thank you.
Is that mm-hmm. Prairie Center?
Yes, Prairie Center, yes.
But I thought at the time we were supposed to get like an evaluation on the other one also.
Could you use your microphone, please?
Can you hear me now? Hi, Stephanie. Welcome.
It's
not on. Is it? Yeah. It's on. I thought we were looking to maybe have an evaluation of the front end also.
Well, the evaluation that was done previously was something that was done by Savannah Family Institute, mm-hmm. And it was a study with a control group and so forth. I don't believe there's anything in the works for the front end program related to that.
Then how are we supposed to evaluate whether our money has been well spent?
Well, I think there are actually some measures within the program that show the direct benefit of the service to the family. There are two instruments that are used, the child behavior checklist and then the FACES 4. And we get annual reports that are prepared by Savannah Family Institute related to the performance or the outcomes associated with the families that have been through the program. So it demonstrates the change that occurs within the family as a result of their participation in the program. The study that was previously done was more in lines of related to recidivism with a control group and tied to youth having been coming through the juvenile detention center. Both programs complete the child behavioral checklist as well as the FACES 4. They do a pre and post test on that, and then the results are tabulated by Savannah Family Institute and provided to the board. It's actually provided back to the agencies as well as to the board, and that information is goes through an annual review. It's part of their annual performance outcome report, And I think that we actually shared that information with the board last October, but similar to last month, it was a very large packet of information, and we had some other things that we were discussing. But I'd be happy to share that information with the board.
I think I have it, but is it hard to get a control group for the front-end program? Is that the issue?
Well, see, yeah. Well, this was a formal study that was mm-hmm. done by Savannah Family Institute mm-hmm. to demonstrate the effectiveness of the extended care program. Mm-hmm. That involved some significant work with court services to identify the control group as well as track the youth that were involved in the Parenting with Love and Limits program.
So. Mark, is this voluntary participation in these programs?
Yes,
are they
it is.
Ordered?
No, it is, although their participation, if they're in the extended care program, it would be reported to the court that they are participating in the program. But the choice to participate in the program is voluntary.
And the families, too?
Oh, yes, yes. The program involves the youth as well as the family. And they both programs utilize a group session as well as family coaching session. So, and they're, depending on which program, if they're in the front-end program, they will go through 6 sessions. If they're in the extended care program, they would have 8 sessions. And then there is supervision as in terms of fidelity to the model that's provided through Savannah Family Institute.
Thank you very much, Mark. That's very helpful.
Sure.
Pete, do you have something you want to say here?
Oh, well, I was going to wait until everybody was done.
Oh, are there more questions over here?
No. I was just double-checking.
Well, I wanted to point out, related to this Tier 1, that this is primarily the group of applications that relate to the criminal justice and mental health interface problem. And as everyone knows, we're in the middle of a planning process at this point, and there's the possibility we may receive a Department of Justice planning grant, but regardless of whether we get the DOJ grant, we are continuing to work, and we have a community group that is of providers that includes Carl and Presence and pretty much every provider that should be at the table. So that planning will continue. And I think it's important at this point that, I point out that these applications may change during the course of the year based on what happens with the planning process. And so we're going to have contract language in these and other contracts that specifically point out that if, based on what happens with the planning process, we will either redirect effort within the contract by modifying the program plan, or with some contracts we may reduce the amount of the obligation, or we may terminate or eliminate the contract, depending on what is indicated. And I think that the other thing it's going to say in these contracts is that the decisions, the final decisions, will come back to the board at that point related to any major contract changes. The other thing I wanted to point out related to the criminal justice mental health issue is that we have done some exploration. People are interested in the possibility of a reception center or a restoration center like Leon Evans talked about. And one of the needs is a actual physical location for that. And I have had conversation with PNC Bank's community development branch, and they would be interested in loaning us the money for that kind of a facility. And so that would be something that as we get into this of course would be driven by this whole community planning process. So that'll all come back to the board, but I wanted you to just to be aware that at this point, since there really isn't anything definite, related to the reception center, that we are proceeding with the services we have in place to assist that population. And as the planning process evolves, we will make adjustments. And that's kind of where we are. So that's the overview.
Thank Thank you, Peter. Any other comment or questions? We have a motion on the floor. Yeah.
I have one question. Again, it's just clarification because my memory's not that great. Among the community elements programs here in this, is the psychiatric primary care services related to criminal justice?
Actually, Tier 1 also includes the wellness programs. So there is Promise Healthcare, Wellness and Justice. There is a relationship between that program and the psychiatric primary care services. We've had some internal discussions about whether or not there should be an additional linkage of this particular, the primary care services contract back to the criminal justice system. So at this moment, no, there is not, but it's something that we've talked about internally and would be a question we would be posing to community elements.
So that's up for conversation then?
Yes.
In the sense that Peter was just describing about mm-hmm. negotiating exactly what services we're getting. Yeah, okay, yes. I wasn't sure about that, yeah. Thank you.
But this, but those two programs are part of the high priority criteria. Actually, tiers 1, 2, and 3 tie back to the high priority criteria that the board adopted last November. Uh-huh. In some respect.
I understand. So, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you again, Mark. Any other comments? Are you ready for the vote? All right. We'll have a roll call vote, please, on this motion to approve the funding as described for Tier 1.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Tom Moore? Judy O'Connor? Yes. Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Berkson?
Yes.
Eileen Danovy?
The motion has been approved, as is passed. Now, Tier 2, could I please have a similar motion? It's right here on page 32. Yes, Dolores.
I move.
Okay. Any comments, questions? Seeing none, what?
Well, I was thinking this might be an opportunity. Did you want to talk, Tracy, about the site visit, and since this is mostly your area here?
Okay, great. Thanks, Pete. So as Pete indicated, all right. So as Pete shared with you, last week we completed our evaluation site visit from the federal government. This was our third site visit, which is a requirement through the a cooperative agreement. We'll have a full report in about 4 weeks, as indicated. But there were a number of early sharing that the evaluators shared with us in our debriefing. And so our sustainability plan was one of the areas that they identified as a positive and unique for our community. And so the second part of that is that the Mental Health Board has committed to continue funding the sustainability part of the work. Those were both highlighted as very key parts of the project and unique to our community compared to many of what they've seen in other communities. So what you see in front of you are the programs and organizations that would continue having connectivity to sustainability for access and the work we are now doing through the coalition. And we were also highlighted around our work with the Youth and Family Peer Support Alliance. This is a companion proposal we have here with the Daimoria Boys and Girls Club as part of our tier. And so I wanted to point that out, the fact that we've established a 501c3 to sustain the important peer and family support that we've put together through the process. The coalition, again, was identified as a key and very important part for sustainability. You have in your packets of paper a press release that we released a couple of weeks ago, a joint press release with the police and the coalition and all of our partner entities. I've shared and updated the board on our continual battle and struggle to address our crisis around violence right now. So we are moving aggressively to positively impact violence in our community, hopefully disrupt as much of this work as, or these activities as possible. And so these were all things that were highlighted as part of our site visit, and I think will be very important in telling our access story as we are in our final year. The other point that, as Pete indicated, with the uniqueness of our project focusing on African-American youth primarily, they talked about the extensive case files they had gone through with our wraparound services. And the one case they pointed out to us, I think, is a clear indication of how much work needs to be done in this area as it relates to African-American youth and mental health. And so the young person that she identified was court involved, was struggling in school, did not attend very much. This person was, she indicated the person was 5'10", 360 pounds, and had a whole host of issues that we were addressing through access, but the young person had not been identified or were not being addressed. And the report indicated that the psychiatrist who had been seeing the young person had just recommended taking Prozac as the remedy to solve what was going on with this young person. And so I just thought that was really key to point. I wanted to share that example with the board. I don't know how much of that will be in the report as when it is released, but I think we're going to have some real constructive and tangible things to share from our project, as well as what the report was able to give us and share with us. So we just wanted the board to be aware of that.
Thank you, Julian. Yes, Astrid.
No, we did not.
What changed?
More money.
Well, we didn't fund the UP Center last year. They came before the board and talked about the issues and the need. They then did an application this year. Actually, they requested 30-some thousand. Yeah. Right. And we felt that we would recommend that we should support that, since that's a population that has not gotten a lot of attention, and so we felt that we could afford $12,000 to support their efforts, and that's basically where we are at this point.
I would also add just that our cultural competence coordinator has really stressed to me over the last year that we have a number of young folks that are dealing with sexual identity issues. It is a real issue in the schools. They are addressing in the schools a number of issues as it relates to social marketing and bullying and a number of those types of things. So it's important from a culturally responsive place that we look to the organization that is primarily focused on our gay and lesbian transgender population and support that. Well, I know they are the group that's identified. That's their primary population. That's who we have a proposal from. And I look forward to working with them this year to address this.
Sue.
I remember when we had a few groups come for requesting additional money last year, and there were several people from the UP group who were very eloquent about the need for services. And I think you can't have a culturally competent array of services without also addressing youth who are struggling with gender identity and the high suicide rates that are often associated with that. So I was actually happy to see that. And I think it's appropriate to fund it at a fairly low level to begin with, and then wait and see what develops. Mm-hmm. I do have a question about another program, but I can wait and ask that later.
Until we kind of get to it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's in tier one.
Tier two.
Well.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. All right.
Yeah.
So I would just like a little bit more information. I know that last year was the first year that we funded the Muhammad Area Youth Club. Mm-hmm. No?
No.
2 years ago?
We've funded them for years.
Okay. I don't know. I was looking at the narrative because I went back through the narrative along with the budget recommendations and thought that I saw that this was a new contract. What I really wanted to ask, though, is the Muhammad Area Youth Club Universal Screening MAYC Members Matter, because under the service locations and demographics, there was a comment by staff that the program appears to have duplicated demographic reports submitted for this program and for the last program. And so I just wanted clarification on the extent to which the two Muhammad Area Youth Club proposals are working together and providing support to local youth that otherwise would not be available.
So the Bulldog Learning, the BLAST program was, I think, where we added the new funding last year for the first time. This was, and I think I see Marcia, so he may want to come up and clarify the distinction between the two if I don't do it well. But so the BLAST program is an expansion on their after-school programming. It's primarily focused on those low-income residents in Muhammad, a population I think that has struggled for support. And I was really excited to go out and see what they were doing for their small minority but primarily low-income population to extend supports for them in the community. Now, the universal screening part was part of what we were doing through Access. And so we were looking at Muhammad, Rantoul, Urbana, and Champaign to look at universal screening as for early indication on mental health needs and challenges for young people. And so we were doing all of these. So that's a distinction between, but we were doing the universal screenings for the students coming to the after-school programming, trying to gather that data and information around connecting after-school supports in community agencies with needs for young people so they'd have a better indication of who they were serving and what their needs might be in the after-school programs.
Thank you. Anything else before we vote on tier two? Okay, if you're ready for the question then, all in favor? Oops, roll call, please. Roll call, please.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Bergson?
Yes.
Island Danavy?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
The motion passes. Let's move on then to tier three.
I move that we accept tier three.
Thank you. Thank you, Astrid. Seconded. A discussion, if there is any. Questions? Discussion? Okay. Julian.
I always have to apologize for my memory. So Just a quick explanation of the relationship between our support here for the Developmental Services Centers, Individual and Family Support Program, and the Developmental Services budget. How do these two things work together? I'm not sure I remember.
We have an intergovernmental agreement between the Mental Health Board and the Developmental Disabilities Board, and it allocates a specific amount of money. So what we did when we were making the recommendations for developmental disability services, we identified some programs, you know, that we looked at both pots of money, both the Mental Health Board as well as the Developmental Disability Board. And so these were just assigned to you know, could have been any of the Developmental Disability Board
that's
contracts.
Okay. So we divided them up, basically, in
pretty
some
much
logical fashion based on the amount of money we thought was available.
We made a mistake last year, and we split one between the two boards, and it's a financial nightmare for Nancy, and I don't think the auditor liked it much either.
That's what I recalled, so okay. Thank you.
And Julian, you need never apologize for your memory. I think there are several of us in this room who might share your experience.
Every year it gets
worse.
It better or worse? I can't remember.
Better. In some ways better, in some ways worse.
Better.
Yeah. Okay. Is there any other discussion about Tier 3? All right. Seeing none, let's go to the question. And Stephanie, would you please do a roll call?
Tom Moore.
Approve.
Judy O'Connor.
Yes.
Julian Rappaport.
Yes.
Ann Robin.
Yes.
Deborah Townsend.
Yes.
Astrid Bergson.
Yes.
Eileen Danovy.
Yes.
Susan Fowler.
Yes.
Dolores Henry.
Yes.
The motion is approved. Tier 4. I need a motion, please. Somebody.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion about Tier 4? No discussion, no questions. All right. Then if you're ready for the Astrid.
How does the crisis nurse fit in my lab?
Well, the crisis nursery program is a perinatal depression program for mothers, and so they're identified and referred. I think public health is one of the referrals, and also Carl and Presence, I believe, do also. And so it's been a program we funded for a good period of time. And they also, you know, they also make available the nursery services for the families that are involved in this particular program.
Peter, I would add that this was actually an initiative that started, it was a joint initiative that was started between the Mental Health Board and the Board of Health. And it was originally targeted to serving mothers with newborn babies from the rural portion of the county. To this day, while the Board of Health no longer participates financially, the program is actually required to serve 50% plus one rural residents, which is basically somebody outside of Champaign-Urbana. So,
Mark, your memory is extraordinary.
Yeah, well, I think Julian and Tom may remember this as well, as they were.
I remember it. So. I was part of it too. Yay!
I wish to comment on this fact. Okay. It's an opportunity to make a point. That Mark mentioned that this was originally a program that was, I was on the Board of Health at the time, the County Board of Health, mm-hmm. not the CUPHD, but the County Board of Health. I thought it was an amazingly successful program that really demonstrated that they were doing terrific things. And I was deeply depressed when the County Board of Health decided to discontinue its collaborative arrangement in supporting this, and quite happy to learn that before I was on the Mental Health Board, that they agreed to keep it going. And it's just, to me, an example, or could have been an example, of cooperation among various agencies rather than complete separateness. And I found that it was such a successful example. I'm still somewhat chagrined that it doesn't continue in that way. So maybe it will again. Maybe we have, it sounded like the, some people on the county board think that maybe that would be a good idea for us to work together. So anyway, thanks for asking about it because it's a great opportunity for me to make this point.
Any other comments or questions? Roll call for Tier 4 then, please.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Berkson?
Yes.
Island Danavy?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Approved.
The motion is carried. Tier 1 is approved. Thank you. Tier 4, well, so is Tier 1, if you remember. I meant to say Tier 4, yes. Okay. Now, I need a motion for to deny funding for all the items delineated in Tier 5 as presented in this memorandum. May I have a motion?
I move.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion? Susan?
I just wanted to comment on the fact that from a conversation I had with staff, that the Crisis Assessment Center development was in no way, not funding it was not a reflection of the board's intense interest in continuing to focus on a way to improve coordination between mental health services and justice services. Mm-hmm. It was the particular application that was not approved versus the overall initiative. Mm-hmm.
Correct? Thank you, Susan. Was there another comment? Ann?
Well, yes, I would like to...
Yeah, I would just like to say that I understand that the Addictions Counseling in Urbana Schools is a new program, and part of the idea is to support existing programs rather than to start new programs. However, I would also like to say that this sounds like a really worthwhile program, and my understanding is it was requested by people in the Urbana Schools, so again, it would be an opportunity to work cooperatively across agencies. So we might want to consider this in the future.
Thank you. Any other comments? Ready for the question? Roll call. Did you say yes? Not to me. Roll call, please, Stephanie.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Berkson?
Yes.
Island Danavy?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Thank you. Tier 5 is... Is the items in Tier 5 are denied. The motion is carries. The motion carries. Okay. All right. Well, good job, everybody. Oh, there's more, of course.
And this is for the $20,000 set aside.
Okay. Turn to the next page, page 33. I'd like to have a motion before we get into any discussion.
I so move.
Thank you, Sue. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Island. Discussion.
Just so people know what this is, there is a $20,000 match requirement for the DOJ grant, and so this is to set aside that money if we are successful with the grant.
Any questions or comments? We need a roll call vote then, please, Stephanie.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Berkson?
Yes.
Island Danavy?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yes.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. Moving on to the next one, I need a motion to authorize the executive director to conduct contract negotiation as specified in this memorandum. Thank you, Tom. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Julian. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the question.
We don't need a roll call.
This is big, no money, no money. So we can just vote. All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The same. The motion carries. Good. I need a motion to authorize the next one. Say it. Yeah. Okay.
Second.
Okay.
Tom moved. I second.
Okay. Any questions?
I would just remind the board that this is refers back to the section of the decision memo where we had the omitted language. So I guess based on the record earlier in the evening that the motion would address the language as written plus that was added verbally.
Thanks, Mark. Ready for the question? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The same. Thank you. The motion carries. And finally, I need a motion, please, to recommend to the Champaign County Board. Can you read it? Whoever is going to move this, please read the motion.
I'll read it.
Thank you.
Motion to recommend to the Champaign County Board the award of $235,105.25 for public safety funding, supporting juvenile justice post-detention programs to the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission Youth Assessment Center.
Is there a second? There's a correction. It's $234,000. I think you said 235.
235? 234.
By mistake.
You said 235.
Sorry, 234. $234,105.
Thank you. And who seconded?
Astrid.
Astrid, good. Okay. Is there discussion? Comments, questions? Seeing.
Just a quick comment. And okay. I just wanted to point out that the Quarter Cent administration team. Did make this recommendation, and obviously we think that this is the way to go.
Okay. Ready for the question?
Just to clarify, because maybe my memory is competing with Julian's, we have done this in the past, correct? This is how we've used the quarter cent tax. It's consistent with our history.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like we should have a roll call. Stephanie, please.
Eileen Danavy?
Yes.
Susan Fowler?
Yes.
Dolores Henry?
Yes.
Tom Moore?
Yeah.
Judy O'Connor?
Yes.
Julian Rappaport?
Yes.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Deborah Townsend?
Yes.
Astrid Bergson?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion carries. All right. Thank you very much. This was a lot of hard work on the part of a lot of people. And I think we've carried out our responsibility for the county quite well. Now, going back to our, if I can find it. Oh, I'm on minutes. I don't want minutes. Thank you. Is there any other new business? Seeing none, we'll move to old business. The systematic evaluations for funded programs. Somebody, would somebody speak to that?
Our evaluation committee has continued to meet. That includes Dr. Moore and Dr. Rappaport and Mark Driscoll and myself and Lynn. And at this point, we are in the process of reviewing a proposal from the University of Illinois Psychological Services Center to help us construct a methodology for reviewing and evaluating our providers and our contracts. I don't know, Julian and Tom, do you have anything you want to add to that at this point?
Well, I would just add that I'm excited about the prospect. We're actually making some movement on this, and I think the people who Peter and Mark and Lynn have recruited to help us do this are really good at it. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how we can apply this over time. You know, we have to be realistic. It's going to take time, and it's going to be have to be developed, and maybe we'll be able to influence the local culture a bit for agencies to really get used to the idea of doing some systematic evaluations of what they're doing. So, and it's hard for public agents, for agencies that are not primarily research-based, they're primarily providing services. And so doing it all on their own is really hard. And if we can develop a system, an infrastructure that helps do that, I think that'll benefit everyone. So I'm excited about the fact that we're making some progress on it. And I think Peter's ready to pretty soon come up with a, we probably have to bring something up here concretely or not?
Oh, yeah. Eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you, what just a second, Tom. Mm-hmm. Do you have a tentative timeline or a rough timeline at all?
I think we're talking about in the next few months that we will actually make some beginning. And then there's a plan, a tentative plan for a year or two of what those first activities would look like.
Good. Thanks. Tom?
I'm trying to remember how long I've been on a board. It's maybe 10 years or something like that.
30 years.
But this issue about evaluation has been a persistent concern. And I know that Peter and Mark and Lynn have tried a variety of ways to promote this whole idea, you know, even offering technical assistance and offering workshops for people and saying that it was going to be included in their programs. And so it seems that this is kind of a historical movement that we keep getting one step closer to and one step closer to and one step closer to. So this was another in that step that looks like a very positive move.
Maybe, if I may, maybe I should. It occurs to me that I should add that we shouldn't overpromise what we think we're going to get like right away. What we're going to do is start a process going, and I think we'll see some movement toward building an infrastructure, which will take time, and creating really a culture change in terms of how organizations look at what they do and how we look at them and so on. So I don't want anybody to think like, oh, well, next time we meet, we'll have a plan for knowing exactly how what success every single agency has, and it'll be precise and so on. That's not going to happen.
Well, but you've established a pretty high bar of expectation for us, so we're going to be eager to see what comes of your work. And hope that
it'll take a while.
Of course it will. It will take a while, and you're going in the right direction, it seems to me. So thank you. I don't know if there's anything to discuss about the Leon Evans consultation here.
I have just a couple comments.
Okay.
If I may.
Sure.
I got to tell you, I really got a lot out of having Leon Evans here. He really clarified my thinking about a lot of the issues related to this project. And one of the things that he said that really just hit home with me was that we have a moral and ethical responsibility to this population that has a life expectancy 25 years less than the general population, and that we really need to address the needs of this group. And so that kind of makes it about as clear as it can get, I think. But I also thought that Leon was incredibly helpful in terms of making sure that we were moving in the right direction. And I think the coalition that I described, which, by the way, will be meeting again on the 22nd of May, this Friday, is part of that movement in the direction. We have a lot of good people that are going to be part of that, and I'm excited about it. So we will continue to work on this issue, and as I've told you, we're going to be coming back to you with, as the planning process unfolds, with recommendations. Susan.
That's very good to hear. Thank you, Peter. Susan?
Yes, just two questions. One, when I read Tom Kasich's editorial or discussion, he focused on the importance of a champion, and I wondered if we thought a champion would emerge from the consortium and how important that is to make this move forward, because Leon Evans had also talked about how he had found a judge to serve as a champion. So that's question one, and then question two is just how will we determine that we have money to proceed with this, and having now just allocated all the funds that we've allocated, how do we begin to address that in the future? Not that I want to be a worrywart, but I just want to make sure that if we move forward, we're moving forward with some funding.
No, there's a couple of things. One is we have a planning process that's going to be underway, and as I mentioned, we are going to put language in the contracts about redirection of effort or reduction in funding so that we can reallocate money. The other thing is that the possibility of purchasing a center or building a center is something that is within our scope, and similar to what we did with the Silas. I think that at this point, until we know more, there's so many pieces that are out there that we don't know about at this time. As I mentioned, we've met with Carl and with Presence. All of these folks that are in this group that we're talking about are on Medicaid at this point. And if they're not, we can get them on Medicaid. And they are all thereby assigned to the managed care companies, which would be Health Alliance or Molina, and so the hospitals here in town, the providers, are going to have responsibility for these folks. So to what extent are they going to provide either in-kind or direct services at a reception center, for example, or a detox center? Those are unanswered questions. Those are things that we're going to be talking about as this group moves forward with planning. And then when we get a better sense of that, I think we'll have a better sense of what our obligation will be.
Any other questions or comments? Any board announcements? Shall we adjourn? Let's adjourn. I don't think we need a motion to adjourn, do we? No. Oh, well.
Okay, the Developmental Disability Board will be starting at 6:30.
Hey, we did pretty well.
Yeah. That's because, two meetings
for developmental disability. Yeah, from yeah. So interestingly,
right. Can I, these two might be the only.